And straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the unclean spirit had torn him, he cried with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, and so much as they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? And what new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits. No question. They obey him. I want to preach to us tonight. If the Holy Ghost would help me, God would anoint me. I want to preach to us tonight on we're fighting foul spirits. Church, you hear me? We're fighting foul spirits. Cut it, slice it any way you want. It's still a spiritual battle. You going to help me tonight? I feel like God wants to talk to us. Let's lift our hands to heaven one more time. Let's pray all over this tabernacle for the Lord to have His own way. Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your promise. I thank You for Your truth. I thank You for Your mighty hand. And I thank You, God, that You still give us the power. I thank God that at Your name and under Your authority, Lord, that every devil and every demon must flee. Lord, hallelujah. I pray that You would give us that divine unction right now. Let the hand of God be in this house. Lord, You know the battles that men and women are facing. You know, Lord, what's been around us. You know the plots and schemes of the wicked one. I pray, Lord, let the enemy fall into his own snare that he has privily laid for our heart. And Lamb of God, I pray, let men and women walk in victory. Find the mercy of God around these altars. For this we give God the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' holy name we do pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. Can we give God a hand clap of praise in this house tonight and mean it from the bottom of your heart? Father, we praise You. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the house of God this evening. I remember when my brother and I, small boys, they're growing up in South Mississippi. And most, like most of you, you know, you'd go out in that backyard and you'd find an old stump or a log, rather, or some type of old brick or something there. And you'd take that thing, you couldn't help yourself, you had to turn it on over. And when you turn it on over, it was just filled underneath there with centipedes. We call them roly-polies in Mississippi. I don't know if you have roly-polies here. Brother Green said you do. Roly-polies and, I mean, all sorts of things that would creep and crawl. But the amazing thing was, whenever they were exposed to the light, they began to run. They began to get away from that light. Why, Brother Zane? Because those creatures were creatures of the night. They did not belong in the light. They did not feel comfortable in the light. When light was exposed to them, they began to try to run away from the light. They are loving the darkness, and they love to be able to be surrounded by the darkness. But when light comes to them, they begin to flee. Let me tell you something very, very similar happened 2,000 years ago. A man by the name of Jesus Christ walked into a sanctuary one morning, and he exposed
oppose the darkness. Can you say amen? Light walked in that sanctuary. Light came into that tabernacle. Light began to push back the darkness. I'd love tonight for the very light of the Lord Jesus Christ to walk into this house and in a very manifest presence begin to push back the forces of hell that try to hinder the lives of men and women. Can you say amen? Beloved, we better realize tonight it is more than a battle of just flesh and blood. Your battle is not with somebody that you simply see with your own eyes. It is truly a spiritual battle. Now, Brother Zane, truly, you seem like a halfway intelligent young man. You don't really believe, do you, that there's an unseen evil force against you, do you? Look at me right here. I honestly and wholeheartedly believe, son, that there are forces that you and I do not see with our eyes that come against every surface. That come against families inside of our churches, that come against young people, and it doesn't stop when they get out of the youth group. It hits them when they turn 19. It hits them when they're 30. It hits them when they're 40. And it doesn't stop till they cross over into glory. There is a true attack that's against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? It wars against our minds. It wars against our homes. It wars against our lives. If you think we can simply walk inside the house of God and everything's going to be easy, you better guess again. There's no such thing as a free service. If we're going to have a move of God, somebody has to pull down heaven and push out hell. We've got to pray. There's no such thing as simply walking inside here and sitting down on our little pews and expecting everything just to be easy and hunky-dory, as they'd say back home. It never works like that. Somebody's got to pray, son. Somebody's got to intercede. Somebody's got to believe God. I got news for you, friend. Souls that are saved, it's because Zion begins to travail. Souls that are delivered, it's because somebody has interceded. Souls that are set free, it's because somebody still knows how to pray. Oh, Sister Betsy Oliver, she's gone on to glory now. But I never will forget, she told me, said, Brother Zane, said, I'm just too weak to get out and knock on any door. I said, Sister Oliver, you may not be able to go door to door witnessing, but you can still lift your voice into heaven and intercede for preachers just like me. If there ever was a time that we bound together and pushed back the darkness, it needs to be now. If you don't think, honey, if you don't think there's witchcraft within a 5-mile radius of this old church, you better guess again. I know we don't like to talk about it. I know we don't like to bring it up. I know we like to kind of shove it underneath the rug and pretend like it doesn't ever happen in our perfect little world. But beloved, there is a reality of the demonic. Are you understanding me tonight? There is a reality. Mark 1:23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. There's no possible way you can take the Bible at face value and deny that there are enemy forces against us. These young people have heard me say it before. I'll say it again. I had a friend of mine, and he was getting on an airplane. And as he began to sit on that plane, the man next to him had a little stack of cards, 3x5 cards, and he's thumbing through them. And he's nodding back and forth in a rather vain repetition. And he's whispering words underneath his breath. And all of a sudden he says, amen. Brother Kelly, the man asked him, he said, I'm sorry, I heard you say amen. Are you a Christian? And the man looked at him and almost snarled. And Brother Powers, he said, I'm not a Christian. He began to tell him what type of group that he was, some type of satanic group. And he said, every day, are you hearing me? Every day, he said, we pray for the destruction of churches and the destruction of pastors and pastors' homes. And he said, when enough churches split to pieces and enough pastors backslide and enough pastors commit an atrocitable sin, then we go have a big party. He said, that's where I'm on my way to right now, to fly out to one of those parties. I wonder tonight, friend, is the enemy praying more for your church than you're praying for your church? Come on here. I said, is the enemy praying greater than your praying for him. Called out the Church of Truth's name in prayer today. He wasn't here praying, Grandma. Somebody called out this church's name, but it wasn't God give them life. It was God send confusion and division. It was God let pride, and it wasn't speaking of God with a big G. It was speaking of their own God. Let confusion and strife come. Friend, believe me, it is a spiritual warfare. And we better realize that it's real and it's around us. And we better get full of the Holy Ghost and have a spirit of discernment. Dear God, give us hearts again and a cry out, Lord, give us discernment. I'll be so glad when even some, I'll go ahead and say it, even amongst our own ranks, will finally realize that not everything spiritual is holy. It can be spiritual and still be evil. Ephesians 6 and 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And spiritual wickedness. Wait a second, Brother Zane. It's spiritual. That's not the question. Is it holy? Is it holy? We're living in a day of deceptive spirits. We're living in a day where men and women can use cliche phrases. And if you're not in tune with the Spirit of God, your mind can drift here and yonder. You need to pray, God, sanctify my mind. Sanctify my heart. Sanctify my life. Oh, well, Brother Zane, I'm just glad they're going to some church. I mean, it ain't a church that believes like we do. But at least it's something. You may be making them a twofold child of hell. They get wrapped up in the false doctrine long enough. And then when you figure out it's time for you to start presenting them truth, they start coming to you with their truth, and you start believing what they believe. Lord, help us again. We need hearts that will say, Lord, not everything spiritual is of God, but Lord, I want you to move and push back the darkness. I had a pastor tell me one time, there was a lady who started coming to his church. She'd walk up to men and women, start telling them, oh, you've got this in your house. You got a picture of your mom over here, and you got this color carpet, and I'm tell you what, she's nailing it. She's getting everything right. Brother Smith, people are saying, the Lord showed her that I had a picture of my mom on this. Pastor said, that's not discernment. That's not discernment. That's divination. That's witchcraft. And it stops. It stops. Let me tell you something. You don't play with that, friend. You don't open up a horoscope and start looking around. And you hear me? You get that trash out of your house. I said, my God, help me, Holy Ghost. You remove far away from it. You don't dabble in it. You don't think it's a joke. You don't think it's humorous. You don't think it's funny. It's something that you stray away from. Paul said, you be simple concerning evil. Told that woman, he said, it'll never happen in this church again. That woman had the boldness to come back to that church during the revival. And she tried to give out a message in, quote unquote, tongues, Brother Hall. That pastor shut her down. And they nearly had a church split. They said the pastor was quenching the spirit. My God, where is our discernment, church? Where is our discernment? My Lord, where's... Friend, I want to tell you something's coming against us. We can say all we want. We can be like that old boxer. You heard about that boxer, didn't you? I mean, son, he's out in that ring. And I don't know if y'all call it whooped up here in Virginia, down Mississippi. They say he gets whooped. I mean, if he gets really bad whipped, then he's whooped. And they ring the bell in between the rounds. And he goes back to his corner. And he tells his manager, he says, throw in the towel. He's killing me. That manager says, son, it's okay. He ain't laid a glove on you. He ain't done a thing to you. And an old boxer looked up at his manager and said, for mercy's sake, Would you please keep an eye on the rest? Because all I know is somebody out there is killing me. Come on here, friend. Something out there is hurting us. Say what you want, but something out there is pushing these men to run off with ladies half their age and three times the total. I'm saying it's a spirit. I said it's a spirit. Are you saying amen to me? It's a spirit that starts getting a hold of their heart. It's a spirit that starts pushing them to watch the filth of this world and the trash of this world. It's a spirit that starts swelling up inside a life. Spirit starts getting a hold of those hearts. Spirit starts getting a hold of some of these ladies. They feel like they got to walk out looking like Jezebel's twin sister. Spirit starts speaking to them and says, you got to do this. And if you just cut this corner, and if you just act like this, and you just put on this, then you'll be accepted. And everybody will love you. It's a spirit that starts working on their mind and says, if you'll start compromising, you can keep them. It's a lying spirit. And then they start acting. Here comes this. Here comes the modesty. It's a spirit. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. It's a spirit that says I can get it as close to the line as I can and just dare that preacher. Same thing about me going on platform. Yeah, you know, it's just something young people. No. It's a spirit that starts getting a hold of their lives. And they start saying, you know what? If the standard's here, then I'm going to bring it right up to there. And nobody's going to say something because it really doesn't matter. I got news for you, friend. It does matter. I said it does matter. The neckline, it matters. The hemline, it matters. And you know what? Tight and clean your clothes is just as wrong as immodest apparel itself. Spirit getting hold from these men. Spirit getting hold from these ladies. Great God of heaven, have we ever seen a day? Do you realize that 2009 marked the first year in American history that more women left men with the children than the men ever leaving the women with the children? We used to point our fingers, men. Friend, if you don't think there's some problems over in the other camp, you better think again. Oh, God help us. We better realize something's coming against our young people. Come on here. I'm for every youth camp. I'm for every youth retreat. I'm for every youth rally. I mean, I'm for it. But why is it that we think that between the ages of 13 and 18, that's when we need to really minister to them? But from 19 to 22, we just leave them alone. Well, next thing you know, they go off to college and get blown out of the water and never find themselves back in the house of God. We need to pray, God, give us wisdom. We need to pray, Lord, send your spirit. God, break the chains. Lord, set them free. God, keep them holy. Can somebody give him praise? It's even a spirit. If you come into our church and it doesn't have a knife doing this, there you go. Just go to sleep. Just go to sleep. I've been in this thing slightly long enough now. I've seen people, you can't put a finger on the outside, but they're so asleep on the inside. Friend, they come against our lives primarily three ways. Let me talk to you tonight. Primarily, number one tonight, they come against us with oppression. Acts 10 and 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. That word oppressed means to rule over, to push down. The same word that we find in James 2 and 6 said, you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you. Pushing down. The word picture is kind of like this, Brother Tyler. It's kind of like a rich man and a poor man go apply for a job. At that time, the rich man looks around, slips some money underneath the table, and he gets the job. And the poor man's out. No matter what the poor man tries to do, the rich man's trying to push him down. Let me tell you something, beloved. I don't care how long you've been in this thing. I don't care how sanctified you are. I don't care how long you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's not a one of us underneath the sound of my voice that are exempt from an oppression that tries to come against our lives now and again. I don't care how saved you are. There are times where the enemy simply comes and tries to oppress your life. It does not make you backslid. It does not make you compromise. It does not make you cold. It just makes you a soul in the army of the Lord. These times, Brother Smith, these times, I mean, I've been giving it 199%, and I still see the devil try to oppress me. I mean, try to oppress me. Try to oppress hearts. And here's the problem when it comes to oppression. We got so many folks underneath the sound of my voice and sitting inside of our churches that when the enemy does start oppressing their life, rather than coming down to an altar and lifting their hands and saying, I need help from God and I need a touch, here's what they'd rather do. They would rather sit and say, I don't want anybody praying for me. They may think I'm backslid. They may think I'm cold. Mister, there's a pride issue inside of your heart. If you can't ask the body of Christ to lay hands on you and pray, Brother Zane, you a preacher. Do you ever get oppressed? You better believe I do. I gotta fight the enemy every day. It not doesn't mean that you've withdrawn your stance. And oppression comes against the hearts. Men and women, like Lord, I'm giving it all I got. I'm trying with everything within me. It doesn't make you exempt from an oppression. Great God of heaven. Brother Zane, what's our biggest problem? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Don't you love it when they ask, what's the biggest problem in the holiness movement? And they're just waiting for me to go down the line and list this. And I'm holding on, time out. Because I realize we're living in a day and an hour that it's harder than it's ever been before to preach against immodesty and worldly adornments and the things of this world. And I know as an evangelist, I've seen them start creeping into some of these circles, and I'm getting very concerned about it and very worried about it. You better believe it. But can I tell you far and wide, our biggest problem is not men and women that have problems going to the bars and the movie theaters and the football games. Our biggest problem is men and women that you can't put a finger on how long their sleeve is, but deep inside of their heart, they are fighting so much. And they are oppressed with so much, but they will not come. They will not pray. They will not seek God. Oh, friend, hear me. It's time you let it go. It's time you say, it's me. It's time you say, I need help. Hell's been fighting my home. Hell's been fighting my children. Hell's been fighting my job. And I need help. Altar calls, we open up. Stop me. We was going, leave Ohio, heading over to a big D3 Gospel Institute. The preacher do something over there. I believe we stopped at a little hotel. I believe it was in Kentucky. Sister Eric and I, we got down and just prayed just before we had any youngins. We got down and prayed just over that room. Hey, Brother Zane, you pray over those hotel rooms? I don't know who's been there for me. I can tell you one thing. I don't know who's been there before me. And whoever comes after I leave, I want them to feel the same Spirit of God that I felt when I was there. Now, just in the middle of one night, son. And I'll be honest with you, I cannot tell you, son. I can't tell you if it was a dream or if I was awake. All I know is I woke up, and at the end of that bed, there was a large, dark figure. I put my hand on my precious bride, and I started trying to say the name of Jesus. Red green is like someone had me around the throat. I took a deep breath, and Kelly, I said, Jesus. And things started backing up. Started moving out of that room. Brother Mike, before it left, all I know is it turned and pointed at me and said one word. Sickness. Sickness. We had our devotions, prayed together, and got on the road. When I got on that road that next morning, I'm going down that road. All of a sudden, my wife looks over at me. And beads of sweat just rolling off my cheeks. She puts her back her hand on my face and she said, baby, you're burning up with a fever. And I said, I know. She said, you think we ought to pull over and pray? I said, well, you know what? We prayed at the room. Let's just take a moment and praise God right in this van. You know what, Brother Prescott? We just got in the praising business right there. We just started worshiping God and thanking the Lord for all that He done. It was raining outside, so we had the window wipers going. And we'd start singing. And if the rain got real fast, man, we'd turn up the window wipers. We'd start singing, you know, everybody be happy over there. And if it got slow, we'd start singing Amazing Grace. Come on here. But we just started worshiping God. And I'm telling you, about 20 minutes later, she put a hand on me again. Said, honey, you're so cool as a cucumber. I said, I know. Jesus touched me. Hallelujah. There's power in prayer. There are oppressive spirits, but thank God He had the authority to push back the darkness. There are oppressive spirits. Faith! Come against our churches. Come against our lives. Come against our homes. Come against our children. But He that's in me is greater. He that's in me. Friend, not only are there oppressive spirits, but hear me, not only through oppression, but obsession. Luke 6:18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits. Acts 5:16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits. Now, Webster defines the word vexed the same way that he defines the word obsession or obsessed. So if you'll give me just a touch of liberty right here, let me read it to you like this. And they that were obsessed with unclean spirits. Now, oppression is from without. But when you let your guard down and you let the devil start dwelling inside of your mind, you move from an area of oppression to obsession. And if the devil, son, if the devil can ever start controlling your thought life, he doesn't end here. He's heading right. And as a man thinketh, so is. If the Lord had ever just pulled back the curtain and allow you to see where men and women's minds dwelt most of the day, I believe we'd be horrified. I believe we'd be horrified. Erica had a friend. She told her, she said, I've started this new thing. I said, what are you talking about? It was on the phone. Said, oh, it's this yoga class. And we're just supposed to relax and open up our minds. I said, what did she tell you? Oh, it's just a relaxation technique. And we just let our thoughts go free. I said, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said you take every thought and you bring it into captivity, into the very obedience of Christ. son, you don't let your mind just wander free. You don't let your mind just be toy for the devil to take control of. You say, Rezane, you can't help but start trying to bombard your mind. It's different than that. And what dwells inside of your mind, what you allow to stay there, what you let dwell inside of that mind will manifest in that heart. You can become so obsessed. You can be so obsessed with revenge and getting even. Look at me. That it will overtake your life. You know what you'll start doing? You'll start going down an interstate at 70, 75, some of you 80 miles an hour. And you'll start replaying that thing in your mind. And you'll start saying, if I could ever do it again, this is what I'd say to him. This is what I'd say to her. And I'm saying, boy, I'd give her a piece of my mind. You know what you'll do? You'll wind up missing your exit because you're replaying it over and over. And it has begun to upset your mind. Prison. Can't think past it. Help me, God. You can't think past it. Because when it comes up, you just dwell on it. Friend, it'll start eating at your soul. Have you ever seen somebody just dwell on it for so long that it's overtaken? God, help me, God. Say something, friend. Forgiveness, right over here. Forgiveness is you releasing your right to hurt that person back. In other words, I don't have to hurt you back for how you hurt me. And only Jesus can do that. Jesus can do that. I'm not going to hurt him back. I'm going to tell you what, it ain't worth my mind. And it ain't worth my heart. And it ain't worth the rest of my life. And it ain't worth me getting up every single day and letting them ruin another day for me because I keep going and dwelling on that same thing. And I'm not going to be dwelling on it tomorrow. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm talking to somebody in this house. You may didn't walk in here with a wheelchair, but you're just as crippled because your mind has been paralyzed. And until you learn to let it go in Jesus, it'll overtake you. Oppress you in obsession. Friends, greed, lust, envy, strife. Go down the list. Let me just call time out right here. I'm not against any of our ladies going out and buying a nice new dress or anything like that. We're not against that. But you know, you can start becoming obsessed with buying things. And the very same way that heroin addict puts that needle in that arm. Same way you can bring out that credit card and say, just put it there. And it's an obsession. It's an obsession. It's an obsession. Help me, God. Give me a few more minutes. Give me a few more minutes. Church, if you don't think it's an organized, planned attack against every body of Christ, you better think again. If you don't think it's a sinister attack, the Bible talks about the wiles of the devil. Those are methodical plans. Can you picture the war, if there is such a thing, give me a little touch of liberty here, a war strategy room in hell where they literally contemplate, what's our next move against that church? tell you something, son. For every other young person here, demons and angels alike are speculating on your move tonight. If he makes a move, those foul spirits say, what's our counterattack? If they say, how are we going to reinforce it? Friend, don't think it's strange. We're fighting foul spirits. We're fighting foul spirits. Oppression, obsession, possession. Mark 1 and 32, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And what is a possessed person? It's not an oppressed person. It's not an obsessed person. But it's literally when that demonic spirit begins to take up residency inside of that spirit of a man or woman. But Zane, do you believe that a Christian can be demon-possessed? I do not believe that Christian can be demon-possessed. One would have to go. You can't have two masters in one house. Brother Zane, are you saying if a man's not saved that he is possessed? No. But I am saying you are a candidate. I am saying you are a candidate. If you're not covered in the blood, young lady, you're a candidate. I said, if you're not covered in the blood, you're a candidate. When you hear stories of 18-year-old man in England abused and taken ungodly advantage of an 85-year-old woman, you mark it down, son. That's demons. That's devils. That's devils. That man abusing that little 7-year-old girl, you mark it down. That's devils. And I know we don't like to talk about this. I'm mighty quiet tonight already. But there are more people that are demon-possessed walking our streets than what you could imagine. Help me, John. Friend, there is a reality of the demonic. But thank God, I'm not going to leave you there. Because there's also the authority of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Mark 1 and 22. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Verse 27, for with authority he commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Hallelujah to God. Satan is still a defeated force. There may be oppressive spirits, but thank God there's still power in prayer. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They looked at him and they recognized his full deity. We know thee, not who are thee. I know you. I know this Jesus. I know this Jesus. And friend, that hellish force that comes against your life, when you begin to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you better, I don't care what type of bluff he wants to put on, the devil knows the authority and the power of Jesus Christ, and he knows what it means when people pray, and he knows what it means when a church in our seed. And he knows what it means to have collective prayer. If one could put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000. That's Bible math. That ain't like a Becky, is it? Come on, say amen. 1 and 1's 2 at your school. 1 and 1's 10,000 in heaven. Come on here. If any 2 shall agree as touching, it shall be done. They look and they say, we understand the authority that we're up against. Yes, he may be an intimidator. He may be good at lying. He may be good at deceiving. But when it all boils down to the bottom line, he knows where the line is drawn, and there's power in prayer. They have a hatred of Jesus Christ. You mark it down, they have a hatred of Jesus Christ. They said, let us alone. In other words, leave me alone. You hear me? Look at me. You ever talk to somebody? You begin to start witnessing to them. And they say, hey, man, hey, you leave me alone with that stuff, man. You just leave me alone. I'm here to tell that man, you don't know what spirit you are of. You're closer than you think. Going over the edge. He said, leave me. Oh, leave me. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be around it. Leave me alone. And then they ask the question, art thou come to destroy us? What's on their mind? And say, you here to do toe-to-toe battle with us? You here to have best man wins? You here to have loser leaves town? That's not what they said. Art thou come to destroy us? Jesus looks back at him and he says, be muzzled. Now, there's a little problem with that. As great as they translated that under the full authority of God, we don't quite get the punch if you'd have read it in the original Greek. Because in the original, we read it says, you know, it doesn't say, be muzzled. It says, hold thy peace. That's what it says. Jesus rebuked them saying, hold thy peace. He just kind of holds you. We almost kind of think of this Jesus as kind of softly saying, please hold your peace. Pretty please. One. Two. Please. And the Greek, be muzzled. The same way that you would look at a dog and say, enough out of you. That's enough out of you. No. You've barked in my ears long enough. Be muzzled. I've heard it. Be muzzled. There's a lady walked up to Smith Wigglesworth one time. She says, oh, Brother Wigglesworth, you don't know how the devil's been fighting me. About that time, a little dog walked up to her, and Brother Kelly started going, snip, 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 right there at her feet. And she goes, she dog, shoo, 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 shoo. Oh, Brother Wigglesworth, you don't know how the devil's been. And about that time, a little dog comes back a second time. She goes, dog. And she comes back from Brother Wigglesworth again, starts pouring out her problems, telling all the sad stories. Finally, the dog comes back a third time, and she looks at the dog and says, get out of here, dog! Brother Wigglesworth lifts his finger and he says, ma'am, when you'll start talking to the devil like you do the dog, he'll leave you alone. When you finally begin to take the authority in Jesus' name, when you finally begin to say, I'm tired of the devil keeping me up every single night. I'm tired, say amen. I'm tired of the devil working on my mind every day at work. I want to have a clean heart. I want to have a pure mind. I want to have victory in Jesus' name. There is an authority. There is an authority. There is an authority that the enemy recognizes. I'm closing. Sister Erica and I, we were preaching for Brother Jay Bailey there in upstate New York years ago now. I had a missions trip over to East Africa a few months down the road. But I really felt like that night, she and I, we just needed to have an all-night prayer meeting for that missions trip. There's 40 of the babies was born, and we just spent all night in that church. And of course, it's a little smaller in this tabernacle, of course. And Erica was praying up here, and I just heard her weeping and crying out to God. And I was kind of back over on this side. Red Powers about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I heard the Holy Ghost speak to me. That's the Holy Ghost talking to me. And the Holy Ghost said, many of these are of a more timid nature. They've simply never had anyone stand up against them. I'm going to tell you what, Brother Kelly, for the next half hour, I'm asking and questioning God, what do you mean many of these What do you mean, Lord? Many are what? Half hour, I begged God, talk to me about it. At 2:30 or 3, I just got back praying and praising Him and asking Him for help. We go over to that trip, and there was ministers meeting there with the Ugandan pastor. And always on that last day, they always want you to go out to some local church in Uganda and go preach. And let me tell you something about Uganda. There's no such thing as a local church. Hello. Everything's out in the sticks. Way out in the sticks. We get there, and the Ugandans, man, they're jumpers. I mean, son, they jump over anything. I tried to do it a few times. I woke up the next morning. I knew I had to have been in the flesh somehow or another. You know. I got around the prayer request. I said, special unspoken. We get down there, that beat, that old boy's got that big old drum. And you got him and says, we will now sing a fast song. We will now sing a slow song. I couldn't tell the difference. I mean, they're jumping, I'm choking on dirt. I get there, and man, I give it all I got. I'm praying that God help me. And the Lord come in that house, He moved and helped us. And at the end of that service, the little platform was probably just as high as this first step. Maybe not quite. But I walked up to that platform, and I just thank the Lord for how He helped us in that service. I had my back toward that congregation, and the pastor was to my left. And you got to understand, Brother Zane, I don't believe there's a devil underneath every bush. I really don't. I don't. I'm going to tell you what, Brother Peach, the atmosphere changed. Something gripped my heart. And I heard out of this ear as that pastor said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. And I turned around and looked. And there at the front of that church, Sister Hall, was that African woman. And those normally dark black African eyes were just as golden brown as they could be. One little speck here for a pupil. One speck here. All I'm going to tell you is it looked like you were looking into the eyes of a snake. Touched shoulders with that pastor. I said, you foul, wicked spirit. I curse you back to dry land. I curse you back to the east from whence you came. Don't even think about going into any other unbeliever underneath this tabernacle. I simply curse you. Leave. I know some don't come out but by prayer and fasting. I realize that. I realize some don't come out to the wee hours of the night. But Sister Smith, when I tell you maybe 5 minutes, more like 3. That African woman dropped to that ground. And she opened up those eyes. It was just as soft as a baby in her mother's arms. And God had set her free. And I looked, and when I'd seen that freedom come across her, I felt the Holy Ghost say to me again, son, I told you, many of these are of a more timid nature. They've simply never had anyone to stand up against them. God help hearts in this house tonight. I don't know what may have come against your home. I don't know what's come against your house. But dear God, there's power, wonder-working power. And if you'll stand, the enemy must go. If you'll make God your everything, He can break that oppression that's come against your life. Can someone help me on the piano, please? Friend, strong churches are made up of strong families. Every church I've ever went to that you could say, now that's a strong church, I promise you, strong, spiritually speaking, families are there. And the enemy knows if he can start putting division inside of that home, he's on his way to start tearing down the strength of that church. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I don't know what scheme he's tried to cook up against the families inside of this house. But it's time we stand and say, in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ, I stand on your promise. And hell, you're not going to get a foothold in here. You're not going to get a foothold between me and my children. You're not going to get a foothold between me and my spouse. You're not going to get a foothold between me and my brother. We're going to pray, and freedom's going to come.
Had with me all over this
house.
You start any time you like, sister. I went back a year later. Got off that little Matatu. That's their word for a bus. The first person I'd seen, Brother Hall, when I stepped off that bus was that pastor, Pastor James. He's a short little stocky Ugandan. Strong as an ox. He'd see me, Brother Zane, Brother Zane. Hug me, squeeze the life out of my lungs. Didn't think the old boy had ever let me go. He finally, I guess, saw me turning purple. I said, oh, Brother James. I put my hand on both sides. I said, Brother James, it's so good to see you. He's smiling ear to ear. He said, Brother Zane, he said, you remember the woman God set free from the devil? I said, I certainly do. He told me she was HIV positive. Now, I don't understand everything about the HIV, but he said she was stage 3. I do know in cancer there's 4 stages. And if you're at stage 3, it's quite critical. He said she was at stage 3 of HIV. He smiles at me, begins to start telling me how good she is now, how good she's doing. And the whole time he's talking to me, the whole time he's talking to Brother Powers, I'm smiling and I'm thinking to myself, she's doing good coping with HIV. I mean, she's came to that place where she's accepted it could be any time now. And he keeps telling me how good she's doing and how happy her family is. And the more he's talking, it ain't adding up to Brother Zane. And I finally stopped Brother James. I said, Pastor James, hold on. I just need to ask you one question, and I need you to be very, very clear to me. Brother James, are you telling me that she's no longer HIV positive? Positive. You ever heard that old question where they say, or that old statement they say, there's no such thing as a dumb question? Well, don't believe it, because Brother James looked at me as if to say, Brother Zane, that's a very dumb question. He looks back at me and says, Brother Zane, don't you know what I'm telling you, man? When God set her free of the devil, God healed her pocket. She no longer HIV. God has healed her. Hey, beloved, don't limit God. I said, don't limit the Lord. I don't care if doctors say cancer. We still say, God, you're in control. I don't even care if they say dementia and losing your mind. You say, Lord, my mind's committed unto you. And I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that you're able to keep what I've committed unto you.
Yes.
Against that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's lift up our hands all over this house for just a moment. And let's begin to give God a praise with our lips. Come on, church. Somebody begin to worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For with authority commanded He even the unclean spirits, and they do obey Him. You're in this house and you say, Brother James, hell's trying to come against my home. Hell's trying to come against my home. It may be somebody you have to stand in for. It may be somebody that's not in the house of God tonight, but you know they're supposed to be in the house of God tonight. Friend, can I tell you, he that is in me, he that is in you is still greater than he that's in this world. Brother Zane, you say you're in this house and I have fought oppressive spirits that come against my home, my mind. I'll even say this, even my finances. God is here to help your life.
If that's you, I want you to step out from where you're standing. I want you to come around this front and lift up your hands. You may be standing in for that other one, but you want to see God help them. Come on, here's one. I know that there's more. I'm going to ask you all the way from the back to the front. You say, Brother Zane, I've been fighting pain. My family's been fighting pain, and we need a fresh touch of God. Come on, here's another. Lord, we need your help. We need your hand. We need God's mercy. Why don't you slip up both your hands when you get down here? Why don't you ask God, Lord, push back the darkness?
Thanks to Calvary, I don't miss you anymore. Oh, thanks to Calvary, I am not the one I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different.
Is this everybody that needs to be around these homes? Is this everybody that needs to be around these homes? Brothers, I'm going to ask us to come. Let's lay hands on these brothers scattered throughout over here. Come on, let's come and pray one for another with them. Would you come? Come on, there's some to my right, your left. We need to pray and bind together that the Lord's going to help. We need some sisters that lay hands on some of these sisters. You don't know what they're facing. You don't know what's come against their home. But God does. And prayer still works.
When they ask me what had happened, I tried to tell them. Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Oh, thanks to Calvary, I am not the one I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. Oh, while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here. And then we went back to the place where I used to go. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. Never fear, you got a new daddy. Thanks to Calvary, we don't miss you anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the one I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. All the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell.